Welcome to the 12th Man Podcast, opinionated debate on everything Borough. Let's have it.
Sound the box, Janino nearly there. Lavanelli, goal! Mark Schwartz is in. Get in! Get in, you big hussy!
Benoit Boston hasn't finished yet. Kick it!
And Borough have struck a stick to the heart of Dracula's boys, and it could be
right, let's get about this, shall we? Here we go. Good evening. Welcome to the 12th Man Podcast. Live, uninterrupted, on Facebook, The Red, wherever you get our podcasts. We're everywhere at the moment. Here we go. I'm Steve Jackson. I'm in the main chair, as usual. Mr. John Clutter's with me. Ian Clutter.
Evening.
Looking very tanned.
Thanks, mate.
Are you at the sunbed?
I have indeed.
Right, okay.
It's about 6 minutes I'll do for you.
Good start. Rare appearance. Mr. Jamie Dalgarn's with us here in Delhi.
How are you doing, boys? All right?
Yeah, we're good. And here we go. Come to Paul and Barry Chuckle. Here we go. Mr. John Donovan's with us. Evening, John Don.
Now then, are you okay?
We're good. You just finished your shift, have you?
It's at the headset. Yeah, is that what you're winding me up? Yeah, I have. I've finished my shift. Yeah, it was a long one. Good. Worked at the drive-thru tonight.
Superb stuff. And just finished his round for the day, Mr. Steve Dixon. Evening, Dicko.
Evening, everybody. I've had better rounds than that the day as well in the rain.
me and Cutler did on Saturday. Wasn't the greatest thing we've ever done. But yes, it was. Did everybody have a good weekend? It was a really weird one without the Borough. But did everybody have a good weekend?
International breaks are always a bit weird, aren't they? It is what it is. Can't do nothing about it.
Yeah. It's boring, isn't it? I think it shows how much you miss the football when it's not on. It's not the same, is it? Regardless if your team's doing well or doing brilliantly, or you're fighting relegation, you'd still rather the football was there.
I'm sure Mrs. Dixon's delighted to know that her weekend was boring.
She won't be listening. I'll be safe. It's okay.
Up the gladiators.
So we can tell what you did, Ben. You watched Gladiators, did you?
Too true.
Get in there. Right. No problem. Well, yeah, you know, we've had a weekend off it. We've had a weekend where we've just, you know, had a bit of R&R, although we did get one injury out of the Nationals. Riley McGree's come back injured after 12 minutes with Australia. So, yeah, always good. But, hey-ho, hopefully he's okay. We'll hear some more, I'm sure, in the coming days. But and you've already had an evening, Mr. Cutler. Do you know Dave Allen?
I do indeed. There you go. He's a lovely gent.
No problem, that's absolutely fine. So, what we're going to talk about tonight. So, obviously, we're going to preview the Easter fixtures coming up at the weekend, because there's two games this weekend. But we've got four questions we're going to ask. How many more wins from the last eight games? But we'll go points. How many points do you think we'll get? Gibson's ambitions for next season with season card rises. If you could build next season around six players, who would they be? And finally, with quality, not quantity, needed next summer, how many signs do you think we need to bring in? So there you go. Nice and easy. Get your thoughts in. Dicko's writing already down. That could be fun. Right, so this could be, yeah, could be interesting, this one. So we'll start with the first one. I'll start with you, since you look like you come back from Benidorm. How many wins? Before you do that, obviously we'll go through the fixtures so we know them. So we've got Southampton, Sheffield Wednesday, Swansea, Hull, Ipswich, Leeds, Cardiff, Watford. Go.
I'll go 4 wins, 12 points.
4 wins, 4 losses?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Who's your 4 wins against?
Sheffield Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I did look, 2-6.
I've just told you the 8 fixtures. Can't be that bad.
Sheffield Wednesday, yeah. Swansea, Leeds, mm-hmm. Cardiff.
Okay. Leeds, you think we'll beat Leeds?
I do indeed.
Okay. Elaborate.
Well, typical Borough, innit? Playing a team in form. We did all right down there, to be fair. A couple of lapses defensively. I didn't think there were any particular great shapes, but they've got plenty of points on the board. It'll be a banging atmosphere on a Monday night under the lights. We've beat Chelsea. Why can't we beat Leeds?
No, you're absolutely right. So if you're going by the typical Borough kind of thing, then why not Southampton?
It's a long trip on a Good Friday, that. I can't understand the EFL for a start off. all games on bank holiday weekends, there should be close games. Fairest we should have been travel should have been Yorkshire. Have Plymouth against Southampton on a Good Friday. It's absolutely ridiculous, but that's for another day.
I mean, that's asking for trouble. What that fix you just said there. Like,
well, it's mental all the way down to Southampton. It's not fair on the fans. Again, they've been put on the back burner. No one cares about the amount of time travelling on a bank holiday weekend. It's ridiculous for me, but I could sit here all day and moan about the AFL and the Premier League, but we haven't got time.
We'll wait till the summer to do all that. Don't you worry about that. What are you, Dally?
8-1-1 draws.
Wow.
No, I think 4 wins, I think I'll go for. I think I'll go draw at the weekend. Sheffield Wednesday, I put us down to beat them. Swansea, Cardiff and Watford.
Oh, Stuart's not very enthusiastic. 2 wins and 1 draw. Let's hope it's better than that, Stuart.
So 7 points out of 8 games. I mean, wow. There you go. So, John, I'll come to you. I've had a few people messaging and give their prediction, but I'll give them after, you know, we should have our first pop at it. And go on, John Don, over to you.
Right. I think we'll draw Friday. Yeah. I think we'll beat Sheffield Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I think we'll beat Swansea. I think we'll draw against Hull. We'll draw against Leeds. Is somebody totting these up, by the way? Because I'm not.
I am, yeah.
Yeah. 2 wins, 3 draws.
We'll get beat by Ipswich.
Defeat.
We'll draw at Cardiff and we'll beat Watford.
So you've got 3 wins, 4 draws. What?
13 points.
What?
13
That's
points.
All right. Yeah, that's okay. I'll go for that.
Wow. That's not bad. I was just counting up the 3 wins, 4 draws myself. 3 wins, 4 draws, that'll do. I mean, I'll ask you all the same question when you're done. You probably know what question I'm going to ask you, points-wise, but I'll wait. Dicko, I'll come to you.
I've got, we're down, lose to Southampton, beat Sheffield Wednesday, I think we'll beat Swansea. I've got, we're to get a point at Hull, lose to Ipswich and Leeds, a point at Cardiff and beat Watford.
11 points.
Yeah.
11 points, wow. Okay. Do you want to, everybody's got to sort of draw. Have you guys beaten Cardiff or drawn Cardiff?
No, you're just beating Cardiff.
You haven't beaten Cardiff?
I can't remember, but I'll say yes. I think I
can't remember.
Yeah, I think that's. Yeah,
I thought Cardiff was a tough one, but with it being the second last game of the season, I think Cardiff's fate will be sealed either way by then. And we might just get Cardiff at a good time. I think we might be good enough to get a point off them, but it'll be a tough game regardless. Yeah. I think the fixtures are quite difficult, what we've got left, to be honest. They really are. When you look at them, I think we're seeing 11 points and 13 points and that, and we're probably all being a little bit generous because we're likely to be positive about the Borough, but yeah. When you look at the fixtures in depth and look at Ipswich and Leeds and Southampton and Cardiff, they really are difficult fixtures, and when notoriously struggle against poor sides at home, and we've got Sheffield at home, Swansea at home, Watford at home. Are we really realistically going to win all them three games? I've put we to win them three games, but if we go off the season and the way we've been playing, we probably won't. So
you haven't booked your hotel to card for Wembley then, Dicko?
No, not this year.
What about you, Jacko? What have you gone for?
I'll go. I'll give the viewers and listeners their goal first. So, obviously, regular listener, avid arguer, Jason's been in touch because I got in touch with him last night. He's gone 5 wins, 2 draws, 1 defeat. You'll hate his 1 defeat. He thinks Leeds will come here and beat us. 2 draws against Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday. And then the 5 wins, obviously, the other 5. So he's gone for 17 points.
Let's hope he's right.
Out of 8, I know.
I think we'd all take losing to Leeds if we got 17 points, wouldn't it? Because we'd make the playoffs.
Make the playoffs, we'd win the Champions League, won't we? 17 points.
What are we on now? How many points are we on now?
54,
yeah.
So that'd give us 71.
Yeah, so start adding in your head how many points that'd give us even with your results.
Oh,
so
Christ, I didn't realise we was on bloody countdown. No, Jesus Christ.
Countdown.
66 for me then. 12.
Right. 67 for me.
Yeah.
65 for Dick Oaks. He was 11, I think.
So yeah. While Daly's Jamie's doing got one plus one in his head.
Jamie's got his socks off, he's counting his toes.
So I'll go with what the people on Twitter have said, or X, whatever you want to call it. So Neil in France, that's literally his name. So I'm guessing he's across the border. He's gone for 12 points. Helen's gone for 9 points. I presume it's 9 points and not 9 wins, because we've only got 8 games left, Helen. So I'm hoping you're saying 9 points. And Ben Evans has gone for 10 points. I'm going for 13. I think we'll get 13 points. 4 wins, 1 draw, 3 defeats.
I think even with Jason's 17 points, we'd be struggling to get in the playoffs on 71, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, West Brom are 5th on 66. Norwich, 6th on 61. So, you know, there's still that too big a gap to make, but... Yeah, I hope Jason's right. I hope he's the nearest out of all of us.
Yeah,
me too.
Louise Donaldson on Twitter, one of the prize winners from last week. She's got 110 points. Dan on Twitter's got 19 points. And Adam's got 111 points. So I don't think anybody's getting too carried away, let's put it that way.
Just Jason.
Except Jason.
Except Jason.
Who, if you really do pee him off, he will drive you off a cliff. So, yes, we all agree with him, don't worry.
He wants the overtime to drive to Wembley, that's why.
Exactly what he wants. Yeah. But
I love the optimism.
I do as well. But obviously, I can't... You know, people can shot their opinions in as they go. Sharon Howells is coming, evening Shaz. Not going to ask you to predict the Leeds game. But... season over, everyone knows it, to be honest. They just need to play for the badge on the shirt and don't be
rubbish.
I'll go
rubbish. I agree with that.
Yeah, she's absolutely right, to be fair.
We had to edit the last word, though.
Yes, of course we did. It was a four-letter word. Began with S and ended in hit. So put them together and use your imagination.
I thought we'd agreed it's Eartha Kitt from now on.
Yes, Eartha Kitt. Yeah, we'll go with that. That's fine. So Ryan Elliott's got in touch. I was thinking big points, but now I'm not going to say mine. No, go on, Ryan, put them through. While you're doing that, so my question to you, Phil, with your points that you've got added all up, will it be enough? You can see, you knew the question already.
Yeah, it's no.
Dally?
No.
No. John?
No.
Diggo?
No, you need 70 plus to make the playoffs any season, really. So yes. Anything less than 70, you've got no chance.
I think in the last 3-4 seasons, I think there's been an average of 72, and we'd have to really push it to get 72. So there you go. Ryan Elliott's come through and said I was on 17-2. Fancy a bud end to the year. Well, I'll have what you're drinking.
You never know. No, you never know with this football club.
You're right, you don't know. So, yeah, that's absolutely fine. So, fair play if you think that. Right, question two. I've been told to hand over to our esteemed colleague, Mr. Steve Dixon, for this one, who's got a few stats on this one. Gibson's ambition for next season with season card rises. He's put his gigs on already. I'll hand over to you.
No, I just had a look because just why I think we might have a go this summer. I'm quite positive about the summer coming up. Okay. From a financial point of view. And, you know, this is back of a fag packet maths. And I know there's lots of permutations and things we don't know that go on at the football club. But I was just looking at, obviously, financial fair play runs in a 3-year cycle. And you're allowed losses of £39 million over that 3 years. That's the rules. So I had a look at our, just based on purely... to be clear, on transfers, either players coming in and players sold over the last 3 years. So if you go back to 21-22, we lost £9.2 million on player transfers in and out. That was when Nsumbalanga left that season. Okay. 22-23, which was the season that we sold Tav and Jed Spence, we actually made £14.3 million. And this season, on transfers in and out, we've made £9.37 million. Now, this is going off transfermarket.co.uk. Yes, they are a decent website. They're not far off. They'll not be spot on. So, obviously, it's back of a fag packet. So, if you go off the 3-year cycle, we've actually made £14.4 million profit in the 3 years, right? So you add things to it, like the Marcus Tavernier transfer was split over three payments. So we'll be due a payment from Bournemouth this year.
Didn't they already? Haven't they already took a loan out on that? Didn't they already?
Yeah,
they did. Cashed that in early doors, didn't they?
Yeah, they've done three. They're taking so much each year. So they took some last season, and they'll be taking the last payment. Will be this season.
But no, they sold it, didn't they? They took a loan out on it.
They cashed on the capital,
and paid
didn't
interest on that loan.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'll take that. Then that's fair enough. I'll forget that. That's fair enough. So. Leave it at, we've made, say, £14.5 million over the last 3 years. Now, let's be clear. You've got to then think about how many players we've signed on loan deals, wages for loan players. So for me, that £14 million has probably been wiped out on loan deals and stuff like that, costs for the club running the club. But what I'm trying to say is we should be going into this summer at the end of that three-year cycle almost with a blank canvas. Over the 39 million losses that we have, which lots of clubs are close to breaching. Middlesbrough this summer are going to be in a really good position. You add things into that, like this season, we're averaging 26,764 attendance. We've got to a cup semi-final, the TV money that comes with that over the two legs. This summer, Steve Gibson's put the season cards up 6%. So a lot of revenue are going to be coming into the club, hopefully this summer. I think this could be the season where we'll have a little bit of a go. I'm hoping that Steve Gibson backs Michael Carrick, like he did Aitor Karanka a few years back, and has a real tilt at the Premier League, because we're going in now with this £39 million loss over the next 3 years. I think this is the season coming up where we'll have a little bit of a go at that. And if it doesn't come off, fair enough, you've got to cut your cloth accordingly in the third year. That's fair enough. But next season and the season after, we've got an opportunity, I think, to spend a little bit more than we usually do on transfer fees and wages. So what do you guys think this summer in terms of what type of ambition Steve Gibson will show in terms of expenditure on wages and players coming into this football club? Bearing in mind, we've done a lot of donkey work last summer, mm-hmm. getting players in with potential, squad players with potential, and the idea was to go into next season with not this massive overhaul of 10, 11, 12 players leaving and 10, 11, 12 players coming in. We're actually targeting next season to bring in quality, not quantity. So I think this summer we'll be looking at bringing in 5, 6, 7 rather than 10, 11, 12. I think we might be targeting a higher level of player than we did last summer. What do you guys think?
Well, with regard to that, I can probably answer it in two sentences. Every single penny that this football club has available to spend, Gibson will make it available as long as it's viable for the future. I've never ever questioned his ambition for this football club and where he wants it to be, and I never will. He's proved it year in, year out for the whole time he's been in charge at this football club. So for me, I know he will.
Yeah, so I'll tweak the question by you, John. I totally agree with that, by the way. What I'm asking is, do you think this year, do you feel like we're going to have a pop next season? And what I mean by that is, like an Aitor Karanka go, or a season of past glories, or do you think it's just going to be another season of what we've had? Just, you know, a little few players in, a little few. I think it's an opportunity. When you look at the teams that are going to come down this season, from which Kieran Scott said on this podcast, looking at this season, was always going to be a tough ask with Leicester and Leeds and Southampton coming to the division. Do you not think that Middlesbrough looking at next season is an opportunity to make, to go that little extra step and have a go to get out of this division?
Personally, I'll
be majorly disappointed if we don't.
Personally, I think they will. I don't know where it came from, but someone said that they were, like you said, they were looking for quality, not quantity. I don't think it'll be as many as seven, like what you mentioned, six or seven. I think if they bring in four or five real, real quality players of championship level, with some of the talent we've got in that squad already, look at McGree, Hackney, Jones, Dieng. I think if we bring in four or five starters for that 11, we'll be right up there and use the players, some of the players that we've got now for that squad. And I do think they'll go for it. I'm always optimistic, but I do. I genuinely do think they will.
Is it absolutely going over my last question? Can you not wait till question four? Right. But I'll counter what you've just said there I mean, this is not my answer, by the way. This is Jason's answer, and I knew he'd go against what he said. Gibbo's going to stay on the same trajectory. That's easy for me to say. He's made $15 million for what we paid peanuts for Rodgers and Crooks. Van den Berg looks a £25 million player. From a business standpoint, we are doing everything right. That's what Jason said to me.
Yeah, but we all know Steve. He'll invest the money that's coming. And like I just said, every penny that's here to invest, he'll invest it.
Steve now, is it? Are you that friendly with him?
I mean, Ryan said there, what do we do if McGree, Hackney and McNair go? Well, the money that we're saving from them players and that we're making them in transfers, they'll spend.
I can't see Hackney going, like, I really can't.
It depends.
Let's be clear, as supporters, it's great to see the football club getting
the financial
side of it right, making profit on players and buying players in for smaller fees and selling them on for big fees, like we did with Morgan Rodgers. That's great. But as supporters, unless we see that money being reinvested into the team, we're not really that impressed by it, because as supporters, all we want to see is a winning team with good players to watch on the pitch. Yes, the financials are important and they're great for the football club to see we've made X amount of money on him and X amount of money on him. But if that's not going back into the playing squad, what do we care? And that's just being a selfish supporter speaking, by the way. But it's true. As a supporter, what you want to see is decent footballers on the pitch in a winning team and your chairman showing ambition. And I think this season Steve Gibson will do that.
Next season,
yeah.
Remember, I mean, yeah, this season pretty much over anyway, but still 8 games to go. I can't, for podcast sake, I can't write this season off.
What do you think, JD? What's your thoughts going into the summer?
What was the question? You've rattled on for 20 minutes and I've lost train of thought. What was the question?
Superb.
Bob Gibson's ambition, John.
Yeah.
He's your pal. Come on, John. He's your mate. He must have told you something.
He's all our mates. The club has changed policy. We know that since Kieran Scott come in. And it was not going to happen overnight. It's a gradual improvement of the squad. And I see that continuing in the summer. We may see players leaving. They'll do their best to keep the players that they want to keep. However, if certain players insist on a move, then the club will deal with that. How many do I think will come in? I think we'll bring maybe 4 or 5 potential first team players and maybe 2 development players. I think we'll still continue signing development players. You know, that's the way I think we'll go. Is Gibbo's ambition still there? Absolutely. Yeah, it is. The club have handled things badly over season ticket prices and rises. Could have been handled better. It could have been done with a lot more consultation. Some of that's been addressed, not all of it. But through it all, it's all about making sure that this club is sustainable. Mm. Now, the way we work, the way we're operating financially, we might have to sell our better players to raise some money to keep us under financial fair play or PSR as it's now being called. But we've got nobody better at the helm to understand that than Gibbo. He's not going to leave himself open to accusations of breaking the rules, because, you know, he's been brave enough to haul clubs over the coals over it, so he's not going to let his guard down and open us up to criticism. He's still got ambition at the club, absolutely. And I think in the summer we'll see some good players targeted. I hope we can get them. We'll see some youngsters targeted. I mean, who knew of Rav Vandenberg this time last year? Obviously, Kieran Scott did, but nobody had mentioned him. He's come in. He might have been bought as not an immediate first team player, yet he's shown the ability to be one of the first players picked now for the first team, because at 19, he's a fantastic talent. How long can we hold on to him for? If we don't get into the Premier League, it won't be too long before he's playing in the Premier League. I hope it's with us. But if we can pick up some diamonds like that, then I think we'll do well. Gibbo wants Premier League football for this club, for the fans, for the town, for the area. And his ambition still burns as brightly as any fan. I assure you that. And I'm comfortable with the business we'll do in the summer, because I think as Dicko alluded to, I think we're okay. We're in a good position for financial fair play to give it a go. I don't think they'll be rash. I don't think it'll be splashing the cash willy-nilly. I just think they'll be clever about it, but they will target. They'll target quality players.
Before coming to you, Dally, Jason's popped on and said, "Well said, John Don." So there you go. You've got a fan straight away. Jason agrees with everything you just said, and rightly so. Oh. Cracking speech. Well done, Dally. I'll come to you.
What was the question?
just see 1-1, Dally.
I think he's always had the ambition there. I think it's obviously you've got to work within the budget that you've got. I think it's a lot of that question of is the ambition there is in Kieran Scott's hands with the players that he's targeting. And the recruitment team, and what deal can they get done? I think it's something you touched on earlier, Dicko, where you said about obviously the Kieran Scott mentioned when he was on, when he said they were looking at next season. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they've done. I think they've looked at it in the winter and thought, are we best off just holding on? Looking at what's happening to Sheffield United this year, you know, if we'd have gone up. You could, with this squad, you could be looking at something like that. So, I think they'll go for it this year. I think the ambition's there.
Plus, they've obviously looked at the market as well, haven't they, and thought, yeah, is it worth us, like Kieran said, putting in a load of money to try and bring someone in just to appease the fans?
The big thing, though, is you've got to say, are we backing Carrick? But one thing about Michael Carrick is, and you may be able to throw a name at me, since he's come in, I can't really think of a signing that he's brought in necessarily with his connections. Where when you had Karanka come in, you could you brought in Kike, didn't you know the Spanish lads? I couldn't really put my hat on anyone who is a Michael Carrick signing. It's a Kieran Scott signing. There's got to be some Man United youngster out there who's maturing now. He can go back to Man United and say, do you want to come across and play football?
Absolutely. But Stuart Gawley's just come on and said, John waffling on for 30 minutes. Ha ha.
I didn't want to say that, but you know.
It's already been said. I mean, I'll come to a couple of comments.
Is that another one of your aliases, Dicko?
I mean, I'll come across a couple of comments I've had on Twitter. Let's say, Neil in France. He's still there. Ambition is to stay afloat. The increase in prices doesn't significantly increase our budget. He's right, to be fair.
Yeah.
See, I can't see the increase in price being mapped too much of an effect on us. Helen's gone, doubt it will be any different from the past few seasons. Well, that's positive. Ben Evans came out, too often burned by big signings and financially behind relegated clubs and a few others will sign players who fit / right price. Which is absolutely right. It's exactly what obviously he's backed up John Don.
I think he's right. I think he's right. Gone are the days where we're going to sign players for 7 million, 8.5, 15. You know, those days are long gone. Unless we get promotion and we get two or three real top class players to help us in the Premier League.
There's a lot of quality around Europe. There's a lot of quality around Europe and stuff that you can target players. Latia Lat, for example, £3 million from Atlanta. You know, players like that with potential who've clearly got quality. If you bring in, and in this country as well, if you use a loan market, like, you know, we don't want to go down the loan market, but there's nothing wrong with bringing a couple of quality loans. But if you bring in like a Latia Lat or a Riley McGree for £2-4 million and target 4 or 5 of those to go with the players that we've already got and hopefully keeping, I think Middlesbrough have a real chance next season to have an exciting push at it. And as I say, I'll be amazed if we don't. I think this season has been all part of... You can't come out as a club and say this season our ambition isn't to go up to the Premier League. Yes, it would be nice to do that and what have you, but I think this season has been based purely on a building process, getting the building blocks in place, getting the squad players in place, getting potential in place, and then this next season, adding that little bit extra stardust, little bit extra quality. Like I've just said, the way the financial fair play cycles went, we're in a good position financially to pay that little bit extra on a few wages, a little bit extra on a few transfer fees, and have a real push at it next season with the teams that are coming down. I think it's a real opportunity for Middlesbrough Football Club.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest, the money that they got from Morgan Rodgers, that's a bonus on top of the club. There's no way the club thought to themselves they're going to make £7 million profit on a player in 6-7 months, whatever he was here. No. So hopefully that £7 million that they weren't counting for is going to go towards the budget and the playing purchasing. It'll give us a little bit more of a boost. And like you said, Kieran's said, without criticising the clubs that look like they're going to come down, Burnley, Luton and Sheffield United are not going to go mental either, because they're... Some fans might not like it. I would say Sheffield United, especially, probably a similar sized club to us. They're not gonna throw their future away by spending millions and millions of pounds, like what, say, maybe an Everton would do that would be moving into a new stadium, a massive club. Do you know what I mean? So I think, like what you alluded to earlier, the three clubs that look like they're going to come down, as a Borough fan, they're the three that I would pick to come down for our best chance next season.
And the danger as well, I would say, the ones that are in danger of coming down and could be in trouble if they do come down, Nottingham Forest are right up there.
Absolutely.
How many players they've signed? It's kicking over 40 players they've signed for a lot of money. And I say it's not financially viable the way he's gone about it, and it could come back to burden. Really, really could.
Absolutely.
Jason's come back in and said, you don't have to spend big to improve the squad. Do I need to bring up Rudy instead? No, you don't.
To be fair though, Jason, the more money you spend on players, the more chance you've got of quality. If you can only afford Asda, you don't go shopping in Harrods. And we are what we are.
That's getting clipped.
We are what we are.
You are right. You're absolutely right.
You can't fight sharks, can you?
You've got to be realistic of where we're shopping and the level we're shopping at. Like Dick Lowe said earlier, plenty of decent players in Europe. I'm sure with the they've done all their own work and they know which players they're already going to target in the transfer window. I mean, you want proven champ as well. There's proven championship players at other clubs that we would take. You've seen, look at Gyökeres, where he's went to, is it Benfica he went to?
Sporting Lisbon.
He's banged in loads of goals and now linked with a move back to the Premier League. He was a player that was on our radar. So
contribution-wise, he's got the most goals and assists combined in Europe this season. That's impressive.
I mean, a year ago, we were all banging on about Ross Stewart possibly coming here. He hasn't had a sniff at Southampton. He's a player that I'm sure this club would be interested in.
Is he injured again?
I haven't seen him on the score sheet,
yeah.
So...
Yeah.
You're right there, John. The more you spend, people don't like to hear it, but it's true. And I know Middlesbrough aren't the Middlesbrough of old, but the fact still remains: the more you spend on wages or the more you spend on transfer fees, you've got a better chance of bringing in quality. And if you look at the Championship over the last few years, the teams that have spent the most generally get promoted. The teams that spend the least generally struggle or go down. And when Middlesbrough have done well in past seasons, when we've been promoted or been in the playoffs, it's been when we've had a little bit of a go at it. And as I say, I'll be amazed if this summer we don't get 4 or 5 decent signings to this football club.
I agree. Yeah, agreed.
It's wages the club are trying to get under control. You know, yeah. they were they were ridiculous a few years ago. And obviously, we know Paddy's one of the top earners. He's out of contract. I'd like to see him stay. But obviously, that means he'll be offered new terms. Whether or not he'll accept those new terms to fit within the current structure, I don't know. I don't know the rules. I don't know whether we can offer him less than what he's on now. I honestly don't know. But the fact of the matter is, the wage bill has steadily come down, and I think that's why we do target some players from Scandinavia and Europe, because wages over there are far less than what UK or British based players can ask, can command.
Shop at Nettle. You know, Nettle's usually cheap, isn't it? So yeah, you're absolutely right, Dally. But to answer the question, the second question, because yous have all rabbited on now, so I'm going to have a go now. I don't think you can ever doubt his ambition, can you? You can never doubt Gibbo's ambition. You can doubt whether we've got the spending power of other clubs, and whether we've got the pull of other clubs like we used to. But end of the day, you can never doubt his ambition. He keeps his club afloat himself. I know people are going to say, yeah, but he uses stocks and shares, etc., in his surrounding businesses. But that's what businessmen do. They use their assets to keep their other assets afloat. He's a smart businessman, and that's why he's been in business for nearly 40 years. You know, he's not daft. And more importantly, obviously, you want to relate it to our football club. If he wasn't our chairman, our owner, he'd be a fan. He'd have a season ticket. We all know he would. So you can never doubt his ambition. It's just whether he's got the oomph and the money to really compete at the real top level to get us back in the Premier League. I don't know, but
I think to end the segment, I think we'd all, it's not often we all agree, but we'd all agree that Gibson will do everything that he possibly can to put this club in the best position he possibly can.
Exactly. So there you go. I know Ryan's just put something there about Sammy Smodic, but I'll come back to him a bit later on. Obviously, the players we're going to target. So six players to focus your squad around next season. This is a really good one, because there's a lot. I've got about 10 in my head that I've obviously got to narrow down to six in the next few minutes. But start with you, Kurt. Who's your six?
Senny Dieng, yep. Van den Berg, Hackney, McGree, Force, and Isaiah Jones. They'd be my six.
Yeah, there's no point asking you to elaborate. It's obvious, isn't it? They're the six.
I think if you add what we've just discussed there, four players to that, plus the players we've got in the squad to be on the bench, I think that would be a strong Championship team.
Yeah, we've got this.
So they're the six I'd go for.
No problem. Dally, who's your six?
I'd go Senny Dieng.
Yeah.
Van den Berg.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dan Barlasser. I'll go Hayden Hackney. I'd have to agree with McGree. Housen and Laugh. Is that six? I think that's six.
Yeah, that's six.
Your maths hasn't been great today.
No, it hasn't. he's only just putting his socks back on. John Dan, I'll come to you. Who's your six?
Dieng and Rav. Hackney, Housen, Isaiah Jones, and that day, lad.
Dick, I'll come to you. Your six?
I've gone Senny Dieng, Rav Vandenberg, Riley McGree, Hayden Hackney, Isaiah Jones, and Laddie Alat. I was tempted to put in Darragh Lenihan because I know we lack a leader, but with his injury situation and stuff, I went against it. And Marcus Force, who's been mentioned quite a bit, he just doesn't seem to have the fitness levels to play regularly, unfortunately, keeps breaking down. So that was the reason I didn't consider Marcus Force, even though he's a quality Championship player.
Fair enough. Anyway, I'll give our people on Twitter a chance before I say my six. One of them, you're going to look at me and go, "What?" But I'm going to say it anyway. No, I went.
Me?
All of you will look at me and go, "What?" But Neil in France. It's gone Dieng, Vandenberg, Jones, Hackney, McGree, Colburn. Helen's gone Dieng, Vandenberg, Hackney, McGree, Jones, Azaz, with a mention to House in the there.
Zinedine.
Yeah, Zinedine Azaz. Where did he go?
It's going to come good. I told you. Watch the space.
Well, I told you all that Morgan Rogers will come good. There you go. Senny Dieng. This has been Ben Evans. Senny Dieng, Daryl Lenihan, Vandenberg, Engel, Housen, Force. Was that a pat on my back or yours?
Just seems though to self-appreciation out of this.
I know. It is. There's not wrong with appreciating yourself sometimes. They say sometimes it's much needed. Adam McCabe's come in and said, Dieng, Lenihan, Vandenberg, Housen, Jones, McGree. Sharon's come in and said, do you reckon Riley will ask for a move in the summer? I reckon you won't see him again. I don't think we'll see him McGree again. I'm being honest with that one. I don't think we'll see
I'd
him
be
again.
Genuinely gutted at that. I'd love to see him in a real good Middlesbrough team. I'd be gutted if we lost McGree.
I think, well, we're on McGree, I think the injury that he's picked up while he's abroad, I know you touched on it earlier. Mm. I know Rye's out there, isn't he?
Having the time of his life, man. Looks
like it. And he reported back on it, but that's got to be the reason why he's not been finishing games. That worry that injury can.
There's
come.
Something niggling to him, isn't there? Yeah. There's something there. So is that holding him back? I don't know. Get rid of Greenwood and Ailing House. Yeah, take them back to Leeds, Charles. You're absolutely right. Jason is six. He didn't go for Dieng. He's the first one to not go for Dieng. He's gone Bangura, McNair, Vandenberg, Hackney, Force, and McGree.
I love what he's on, man, you know.
Who was Bangarina was his second one?
Paddy McNair. Yeah. Ryan Elliott's gone for Dieng, Vandenberg, Housen, Hackney, Jones, Laugh.
Fair enough.
See, I would have. You sort of know how much I love Johnny Housen. But for me, it's a given that he'll be here next season.
Yeah,
I think he'll sign a contract. But to choose six players that you're going to build your team around, how old will he be next year? 36. I know he goes on and on, he gets better every year. Mm. But it's just a given for me that he'll be in and around this football club. And for us to have a successful season, I think it's vitally important that we do re-sign Johnny Housen.
Yeah, he's already said, hasn't he, that he's going to play on next year. So I think something will come by the end of the season. He'll pop out and say he's got a deal with us for next year.
I agree with that, John. And when I was talking about players coming into the football club, I wrote down to keep Johnny Housen. But I think if Middlesbrough are going to be targeting automatic promotion next season, either top two or by the playoffs, I don't think we'll make it if Johnny Housen's a regular player next season. He needs to come. He needs to be around the football club to inspire the players with his captaincy and his knowledge and his know-how. And he should be a player that comes in and out of the side, plays in the cup games. But if Johnny Housen is a regular player next season in terms of a starting 11 player week in, week out, I don't think we'll be anywhere near the playoffs again. Unfortunately, the time has come now where Johnny Housen at 36 cannot be playing 30, 40 games for this football club. He should be playing 15 to 20 and being there to make Middlesbrough make the next step up with his experience and his know-how. But we need to bring in a couple of midfielders next season to replace the Johnny Housens and, quite frankly, the players that aren't good enough, like Zabalasa, who's not good enough. I wouldn't keep O'Brien. I think the engine room needs a reshape. Hopefully Hayden Hackney stays. Johnny Housen's on the periphery of the side with his know-how. And we're bringing some more legs, pace and commitment into that midfield. That the engine room needs a refit for me.
The thing with Johnny, though, every time you... Go on, John.
No, I was just going to say, I don't think there's any sentimentality there. If he earns his shirt...
Yeah.
Whether that be four or five games on the bounce, and he's still showing the level of fitness even at 36. Like I say, they're not going to put him in out of sentimentality. If he earns that shirt, he'll play.
See, I don't know about you lads here. I know Dicko said he wouldn't keep O'Brien, but I would sign O'Brien in the summer.
I would.
He's proven championship quality. He's had a few injuries. 100%, I think he went to Forest for about £4 million, or was it £5 million? Something I reckon like we could maybe get him for £4 million. I would take O'Brien for £4
million.
I wouldn't pay that much for him.
I wouldn't pay that much.
I'd pay a million and a half. I wouldn't pay £4 million.
Yeah, I think if they were going to pay £1.5 million for Greenwood, I think I'd pay £1.5 million for
O'Brien.
For O'Brien, yeah.
He's the only one of the lone players that I would keep.
Yeah, I know he's been inconsistent. He does have his off games with his on games, but now he's got settled in the middle of the park, he doesn't look too bad. I think he looks quite at home next to House and whoever it may be in the middle. I think he looks at home in there now.
House and for years. Every year, like you touched on, every year he seems to kick on. Yeah. And
ridiculous, isn't he?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily fully write him off for next season. I think if you put the right players around him, I think we've been a different team over the last four games because he's come back and we've picked up points. Well, you know, but before when he was injured, we were on a horrible run, and we've picked up 10 points out of four games.
See, I get Diggle's point about his age and all that.
Oh, of course.
But we've got a between 20 and 30 million pound talent in the middle of the park, and Housen hasn't been one bit worse than him all season.
Exactly.
Through the full season. Yeah. He's been as good as
I would keep Housen. I'm not saying I wouldn't keep him. I just don't think he should be, in my opinion, if we're going to be going for the top two or the playoffs, he's going to be a player that should be playing regularly. Because if Middlesbrough lack anything this season compared to the going back to last season's team, we're bereft of pace in drive, and that comes from the midfield. You look at the legs that we've lost with the players that left last season, and Giles and Ramsey and Akpom and Archer. And you look at what we've got now, and we're like Middlesbrough with the batteries taken out. We've lost that. We've lost them legs. We've lost that positive, quick passing and drive and box to box players. And Housen falls into that category along with seven or eight players we've got in the squad. So for me, absolutely keep Housen. His know-how, his versatility, his leadership qualities, brilliant. Be there in cup games, in and out of the team when we need him. But if you generally think you're going to make the top two next season with a 36-year-old Johnny Housen playing 30, 40 games, you're living in La La Land. It's not going to happen.
Why, Diggle? But you look at
it's
James
not going to happen,
Milner.
John. The position he plays is such a physical position to play now. The midfield, the way the game's evolved now, you've got to have legs in your midfield to get forward, to be proactive, to be on the front foot, the way Michael Carrick wants to play. And Michael Carrick's actually changed his tactics this season, which we know he didn't want to do, because we haven't got those legs. We've got too many players who are very, very similar in terms of skill set, whether it be O'Brien, will it be Housen? Will it be Barlasa? Even McGree isn't quick. We haven't got legs. And we've lost the Ramseys that were up and down. Chubarakpom sitting in the hole. The pace up the front. We just haven't got it. We're bereft. Greenwood isn't particularly quick. You know, we just haven't got pace in the side. And that's what we need. And the best sides, whether it's in the Premier League or the Championship, the best sides have pace, they have width, and they have players that can get up and down the pitch, and that's what we lack massively this season.
Yeah, but that's not just Johnny Housen. That's not just
I've just said it's not. I've said it's a,
I know
we've got
that.
Seven
so what I'm saying it is at 36, you don't write him off. I mean, look at James Milner. He's 103, isn't he? And you know, the last half a dozen seasons, everybody was saying, "Oh, this is his last. This is his last." He just kept on going.
Yeah.
Sometimes
but I'm not writing him
it's
off.
Not, it, sometimes it's not about him getting up and down the pitch. It's about being in the right place at the right time, and that's experience. And I would not, if he's good enough, to play for 40 games of next season. He might not be running up and down the pitch like a 19-year-old kid, but if he's good enough and he's earning that start, age isn't the barrier to me.
The best thing is...
There's one thing you can't beat, and that's father time. Father time always wins. That's a fact of life. And all I'm saying is I would keep Johnny Housen for the reasons I've give, but father time will catch up with Johnny Housen the way it catches up with every single player.
Very good.
I don't think at 36 playing centre midfield in the Championship.
Billy Sharp's 58. And he got promoted last
season. He doesn't play centre midfield, though, does he, Billy Sharp? He plays up front.
But he got promoted last season with Sheffield United.
I'll ask you, Dicko, who's been our best midfielder this season?
Johnny Housen? And I would sign him. I'm not saying not to sign him. I think you're missing
the
point.
I know
I'm
you're not.
I'm saying
no,
that. What I'm saying next season, if we want to be pushing top two,
you were saying just because
Johnny Housen talking about
that. You were saying just because he's 36, you wouldn't start him for 40 games. Well, do you know what? If he's still pulling out 7-8 out of 10 performances, and the fact that he's not sprinting box to box, but he's making vital interceptions in the game. He's using his experience to break play up or to start one of our moves. It doesn't matter that he's not as agile as he was when he was 22. If he's doing well, he plays.
See, I totally get where you're coming from, Diggle, but I think we'll have probably had this same conversation last year, and I think John said there, I agree with him. I think he's been better this season than Hackney, who's, like I said,
I think the reflection is on how poor a season Middlesbrough have had and how disappointing a season Middlesbrough have had and how many players have massively underperformed this season, that Johnny Howson is a standout player this season at 36, because his level of performance and his professionalism has got him through this season, where he's always a 7 out of 10. But there's not many other players in the Middlesbrough squad this season that have been 7 out of 10.
See, that
doesn't mean that Middlesbrough shouldn't be looking to better themselves next season from a Johnny Howson, because the position he plays is a real key position. And we need somebody, like I said, the midfield for me needs completely re-energised next season. It really does. We're bereft of pace, ideas, quality, box to box. I mean, if you go to the top teams now in the league, the top four in the Premier League, and if you look at the top four in the Championship, and look at the goals that those teams will have got from midfield, then look at what Middlesbrough return is this season from our midfield. It'll be embarrassing. We don't score enough goals or get enough players in the box regularly from the midfield. Last season, look at the statistics. How many goals did Ramsey get? How many goals did McGree get last season?
Who played central midfield last season?
Yeah, that's not the point I'm making.
So the pace, though, the pace in the squad, I agree with you, but that comes from wide areas. Wide areas in the forwards. Not particularly from Johnny Howson, who'll be sitting deep in midfield, picking up the ball, stopping attacks that are going against us, making the right passes. I agree with what you're saying. We need an upgrade. But if he's good enough at the start of next season with pace around him and better quality players, I disagree. I think he'll play a lot of games next season. And I think
we already tried the upgrade by bringing in Dan Barlasa. He was supposed to be the Johnny Howson upgrade, but he's not good enough.
I agree. He's most definitely not.
Dan Barlasa should be embarrassed, because Johnny Howson is still better than now at 35 and 36 and probably when he's 37. But he was brought in to replace Johnny Howson.
And Johnny Howson's faster than him.
Quite possibly, totally agree with you with that.
I agree with you. But time will tell with Howson. Like I say, we'll have had the same discussion last year that we probably sat here saying, can he go another year? Can he go another year? If his performances are as good next season as they are this season, he'll be good enough to start in this team for me. But time will tell.
I would still keep him.
Yeah, get you.
So because of all of that, I've got to fit in my six, the last question, and an Easter preview in 7 minutes. Bravo, gentlemen.
Johnny Elson's not in your six here. I'm walking out.
He is in my six. I've got to admit. But my six is Dieng, Rav, Lenihan, Howson, Force, Colburn.
Not much pace in that, like.
Who was that again? Repeat, sorry.
I'm not bothered about the pace.
Go on, let's hear it.
I could argue all day that pace does not win your leagues. I really could, but I won't.
Go on,
precision wins your leagues. But Dieng, Rav, Lenihan, Howson, Force, Colburn is my six. You can put pace around that, but that is a hell of a spine for me. Mm-hmm. That's what you need, a strong spine. A strong spine wins your leagues.
I think one thing we can say, we've named players there, we have still got a decent backbone in this squad. It just needs a couple, like we've said, four or five players, and we could really have a good go next season.
That's the beauty of this question. It's just proving that everyone... You can all pick six different players. I don't think any one of us has picked the same six. We've picked maybe a few, the same... Each.
I think a few of us had about five similar players.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
But we're all in agreement there. We've got a very strong spine. If we're fully fit, the spine of our squad is a good one. We just need to put everything to go with it, because that's something I can't stand talking about the block, but I will. Something Karanka put in that was quite strong when we went up was a strong spine, which meant we didn't concede many goals. Midfield was... bang on with Leadbitter and Clayton, and we had goal scorers. KK scored goals, Nugent scored goals, Rhodes scored goals when he came in. People don't talk about it, but he did. He scored the big goals at Burnley, Bolton, Milton Keynes. I'll chuck that one in there as well.
I mean, I think when Daly was on TalkSport the other day, he mentioned that they asked him, do we need a striker? And he said, actually, I think we need two. And I totally agree with
him. I agree with that.
Yeah, I think we do need two centre-forwards. Because we've seen this season ravaged by injuries where we've played without a centre-forward. You can put Greenwood up there all day long, but he's not getting 10 goals playing centre-forward.
No.
And we haven't got another. We haven't got anybody else.
I mean, we'll see at the end of the season. We'll talk about what's happened with Sam Greenwood, because he really has gone off the boil big time since that goal against Leicester. He really has. But last question, nice and easy one for you. I'm not going to ask you to name the positions. How many signings would it take in the summer to get us towards being competitive? Start with you, Cuts.
Five stars,
that's fine. I presume, I'm going to put the rule in, if you're signing someone, he starts, right?
Oh, okay. probably say five.
Yeah, fair. John Dom?
Yeah, four or five, so I'll go with five.
I'll
be greedy and say five.
Be as greedy as you want.
Tigo? Are we seeing signings for the summer or just starters? Is that what you're...
Signings in the summer that you'd put in the starting 11, how many would you need to make that starting 11 potentially competitive at its beginning?
But you have to leave Johnny Elson alone.
I think we need... We need at least five. I think at least five that are going to come in to be first team regulars. At least five. So I would like to target five top players, put a budget into them five players, and like John Don was saying earlier, a couple of players for the future with a bit development.
The only reason I put that stipulation in is you can sign. You know, you can say, oh, I'm signing a player for this and that. You don't go and approach a player and say, do you fancy sitting on our bench for the season? Not one club says that to a player at all. So that's the only reason I put that stipulation in, because we could easily go and put five bench players and get them.
See, I agree with you when you said I think we need two strikers.
I think that would be
a massive boost to the squad. Obviously right back needs addressed. We need to massively upgrade, like I said before. For me, the midfield need a couple of centre midfield players. And that's, you know, and possibly another centre back as well, depending on if Paddy stays or goes. We'll probably need another centre back as well. So yeah. I think at least five.
That's it. Me saying, you know, focus around Corbyn is not saying I wouldn't sign a striker, I absolutely would, because the fitness record of our strikers this season has been shocking. It's not been good. I know Corbyn's had a hernia for half a season. That's why he's a bit hit and miss whether he's in the squad or not now. So whether it's summer, you know, sorting that out and getting him fit again, we're doing good. I don't know. But there you go. That's our little rant for 57 and a half minutes.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question very, very quickly? Have yous all renewed?
Yes. Yes.
I'm on my way home to do it tonight.
There you go. So that's practically yes.
No, I haven't. But that's because I always leave it till the day before. My dad's renewed, and I always leave it till the last day. I don't know why. I've done it for years.
And that's the goal. Yeah.
No, I'm going to. I've done it, and I've took it over the 4 month payment plan.
Good. Yeah.
But the only reason being because I would have left it normally to the last day, but we'll be travelling home after the Southampton game on the Saturday, and I'm bound to forget. I'm bound to miss. I'll kick myself if I forget. So I done it, and we're sorted now. So we've all renewed, good lads. Well, we're all going to. That's good.
Exactly, spot on. Right,
Southampton.
We've got a very busy Easter to cover in 70 seconds. This ought to be good.
Latter last 1-1. Right, next JD.
Wow. Okay.
1-1. Johnny Olsen.
Dicko.
2-1 Southampton.
No, Johnny Olsen.
Laddie a lad.
Dally.
1-1. Matt Clark.
Oh, that'll be some return now. Jack Wall.
1-1. I'm being honest. 1-1. I'm going to go for him again. Rav Vandenberg. He will score again. He won't score this week.
Right,
pretty sure of it.
Chef Wed, bank holiday Monday, 4-1 Latte a laugh.
I know we had a drink Saturday, but I didn't think it was that bad.
You said this last time when it was Norwich. JD?
That's very true.
3-0. Force.
Dick Wall?
I'll go 3-1, Isaiah Jones.
Okay.
Dally? 1-1, who are we going for?
2-0.
Wow.
Clark.
Jaguar?
2-2.
3-1. And Marcus Force. Has anybody took that? No one's took
that.
I've
said that.
No, you had...
Isn't he injured, Marcus Force?
You had 3-0, John,
oh, yeah, he's injured, isn't he?
He's injured, oh, Marcus Force.
Yeah, cross him off. I'll go Jones.
Do you want to change yours then, John, if Force is injured?
Yeah, okay, 3-0. And Aidan Hackney.
There you go. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's injured as well, so you picked two for two. Well done.
No. They said
do you want to choose Morgan Rodgers as well, John?
No.
There's a small chance Sammy Amiobi might come back in, you know.
No chance of him scoring.
One thing I want to mention before we go. Where's Dale Fry gone?
I don't know, but we haven't missed him. That's all I'm saying.
But where's he gone? Now it's been mentioned. Now it's been said. He's been gone for the last month. Where is he?
He's supposed to be injured, isn't he? So
is he going to see Sammy Amiobi? You know, is he going to see Sammy? See where he is? He's just disappeared.
It's been a disaster this season for injuries. To be fair, it's been absolutely awful, killed the season. It's been a disaster.
Yeah, it's not been great, has it?
It's a good job Johnny Howson's played well.
And on that light note, I will leave you be. Gentlemen, thank you for popping in. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I could have swore there, but I won't because we'll get wrong off the radio.
Yeah, please don't, it'd be me again. So, yes, no swearing. I sound like Peaky Blinders. Gentlemen, thanks for popping on and having a chat with us. Slightly controversial tonight, talking about, I think the house and chat will go viral. But it's a good chat, it's a good discussion. That's why we did it. People got involved. And Shaz mentioned about the two Leeds players, we don't need them in the Premier League. Well, I can't wait for you lot to finish third and get beat in the playoff final. So enjoy that and enjoy your Easters. I'll see you all next Tuesday, because we'll be on next Tuesday because of Sheffield Wednesday being next Monday. Selfish.
I'll see you Monday then.
But I'll see you all Monday at the Riverside. If you haven't got a ticket, get one. Enjoy. Up the Borough. Be seeing you. Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
Thank you for listening to the 12th Man Podcast. Hope to see you all again next week. Up the Borough.